survey has been extended to Friday, April 12, 2024. Thank you.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. My name's Garland Nixon. The name of my show is News Views. I guess it's not my show, since this is a, it's a 50,000-watt station, but it's a community station. This is community radio. So, you know what? The name of your show is News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm just a person occupying the seat, keeping the seat warm. That's all I'm doing. If you want to get in touch with me, that's easy. You want to find me online, easy. All you got to do is go to my Facebook, Garland Nixon, Telegram, of course, look up Garland Nixon, and you can even email me. I'm on Instagram, garland.nixon. You can even email me, Garland N, that's Garland, my first name, and the first letter of my last name, N, garlandn at gmail.com. Lots to talk about, always. Let me start here. Something interesting that I read earlier this week, and I just thought to myself, you know, if you listen to my show regularly, you know I'm not enamored with the politics of the United States these days by any stretch of the imagination. So I read that a black politician in America put in was talking about a bill for reparations for black folks, right? I thought, okay, well, let me see what it says, right? Because let's face it, from a legal perspective, black Americans would have a strong legal case for damages. And so from a legal perspective, they would have a case that you wouldn't call it reparations, being made whole, right? Okay. So what this was, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, okay, that's neoliberalism as it is. It was this. Black folks won't have to pay taxes, right? Let's do that. Let's make it for reparations for black people that doesn't have to pay taxes. And I thought to myself, well, let me think about that for 1 second. Black folks don't have to pay taxes, right? One of the issues that I have had with every time we hear this, we're going to have tax cuts. So let's say everybody gets a 10% tax cut, right? Remember that? The Bush tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts. And how does that always work? It works like this. If you pay $10 million a year in taxes and you get a 10% tax cut, you save $1 million a year. But if you're Joe Schlepp out here and you're making $30,000 and you pay virtually no tax cuts, you got kids, taxes and all, you don't get anything. So the richer you are, the more money you save, if you see where I'm going. So if you do that for black folks, okay, here's what we're going to do. Black people don't pay no taxes. So let's say you're Jay-Z. You make out pretty good. You don't pay taxes. You're black, you're Jay-Z, you're a billionaire. You save yourself $10 million a year, whatever the case, right? Let's say you're a brother out here. And we've all known people like that. I known brothers that had a pickup truck. And they made some money with a pickup truck, right? They're like, hey, I knew somebody needs a yard cleaned up. I know somebody that's listening right now. Brother I grew up with. Had a pickup truck. Made some money on the side, right? He'd do houses, clean up jobs, whatever he could do, take stuff to the dump for you, you name it. Then he got himself a trailer, made a few more dollars. The next thing you know, he had a couple people saying, well, you're doing this. You think you could cut my grass? Guess what? He's doing pretty darn well right now. He does landscaping. The brother is making serious money. He started off with nothing but a pickup truck, scrapping, making a dollar, right? Where am I going? He wasn't really paying any taxes. He was getting enough to buy gas and maybe keep a little bit of light roof over his head and do the best he could do. He didn't have much. It grew into something that way. I'm sure he pays pretty well taxes. My point being this. If your reparations are you don't pay taxes, for those of us who maybe work for the, I'm in D.C., work for the federal government, yay, right? You got a job, you got a business or whatever. Great for you. You're going to save a lot. But a lot of the brothers and sisters out here, is making money the best way they can, don't have much, maybe never had much, struggling to make ends meet, maybe ain't paying no taxes, maybe quiet as is kept, they're making a couple few dollars under the table as best they can to survive, right? They get nothing. They will get nothing. All the big tax cuts, if reparations are tax cuts, the rich person, Jay-Z, for instance, Oprah, how do you think Oprah's going to make out if black folks don't pay no taxes? Let me just make it easy. Better than you, okay? So what do you have? Everything, and what do we complain about? Everything in this country goes to the rich. There is nothing for the poor. All this country does is extracts money from the working class, extracts money from the poor, and puts it in the hands of the rich. And then, when it's time to take out care of somebody, to look out for those, what does this country do? Look out for the rich. And the black misleadership class knows where their bread is buttered. Right or wrong? They know who's, let's face it, the brother that's cutting grass, got the pickup truck, making a few dollars on the side, making some runs to the dump, cleaning this up. Somebody comes over, hey man, I got an old fence, can you tear my fence down? Yes, put it in there, take it away. Hey, I need a tree cut down. I know how to cut trees down. Cut it down, saw it up. Then maybe he breaks that up, he sells the firewood, he's making any money any way he can. He don't get a dime. He's the one that deserves it. Why? Because he's struggling. Why? Because his parents before him didn't have a house to leave him generational money because they didn't have an education. They lived in an apartheid country. He didn't get a decent education. Why? Because his parents lived in an apartheid country. He didn't get money. So he now is suffering from the legacy of slavery and apartheid worse than anybody, struggling to make it. The guy who, Jay-Z, Oprah, they ain't struggling from the legacy of slavery, okay? They got private planes. But they're the ones that are going to get all the loot in the so-called reparations. You see, my friends, because that's the way the game is played. And it's going to sound good because the term reparations, you're a black man, you're like, oh man, reparations. Hey, I've been waiting for that. All right, reparations, give me some of that. I feel like my people have been done wrong. And we need to repair this, and I need it. Sorry, it ain't happening. Even when you win, you lose. Okay? Even when you win, even when they give you the illusion of reparations, you should say, I don't trust you. You ain't giving that to me. You're giving it to Oprah and Jay. Let me tell you something. Oprah, if they say that you don't pay taxes, black folks don't pay taxes for a year, 10 years or whatever, right? Oprah and Jay-Z will save more money in taxes than every Negro in Chicago. I'll tell you that right now. I will guarantee you that if you put every brother, working class brother in Chicago together, what they will save in taxes, Oprah and Jay-Z will beat them all. Am I wrong? So the point being is this, that's the way the system works. You're hearing something about it. I've heard other people say, hey, have you heard? They're talking about reparations. I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, I'll believe. The devil is in the details. I'll believe it when I see it. The black misleadership. You know, I remember a while back, NAACP. I ain't saying nothing good or bad about the NAACP. My sister used to be the chief operating officer for the NAACP, okay? So I ain't here to hate on it or to like it. I'm just throwing something out here. I remember this. The NAACP had this thing, and they were like, what we need is more black people in the boardrooms of Fortune 500 companies, right? Why is it that Fortune 500 companies don't have black people on the board of directors and black people, blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, what percentage of black folks are you going to help if you getting black folks in the board of directors of Fortune 500 companies? Let me put it to you like this. If you're a black person and you have an opportunity to get in the boardroom of a Fortune 500 company, you're already rich. If Disney, Nike, whatever is looking at you saying, you know, Garland, we're considering you as a position for the board of directors. I'm already rich. They ain't going to go to some brother on the corner who's standing there trying to figure out how to put money together to pay his electric bill. They're not going to go to some sister that's sitting there saying, man, I got kids to feed, and my husband just got laid off, and I'm working three jobs. I don't know how many. They're not going to offer her a job on the board of directors in Nike. Not happening. Sorry. So then, what are they saying? They're saying, let's give those who have it even more. The concern is, keep in mind, it's not that they're doing anything for black folks. Because let's face it, if they put another black person on the board of director for Nike, it's symbolic. It's symbolic. You're supposed to look at it and say, wow, there's a black person on the board of director for Nike. I think I'll go out and buy a new pair of $225 Jordans. They're still going to take your money. They're still going to do great. Hey, look at this. Nike's the great company for you. They've got a black person on the board of directors. And you're like, yes, let's all go out and buy an overpriced Nike products that was made in a sweatshop somewhere. That some brown person was degraded, humiliated, and worked to death to make those shoes. And I ain't just picking on Nike. It's all of them. You know the game plan, right? So what does anybody get out of it? Nothing. Some black person, brown person, Indonesian person still going to get worked to death to make a shirt that cost him 78 cents to make, and they're going to sell it for $39.95, and you're going to buy it because there's a black person on the board of directors who was already making $8.5 million, and now they're making $8.6. So I'm just saying you should have a cautionary look when the people in power pretend like they're looking out for the little guy. If it was me and somebody said, well, we've decided that black people deserve some reparations, I'd say, okay, what can we do that will help the masses? What can we do that when I drive through some of the bad spots in East Baltimore and I see a lot of people out there who've been left behind, who are struggling, who don't have much of anything. How can I assure that not only will they get something to help them out, but some opportunity? What about some job training? See, all I'd be talking about is what they ought to be doing anyway for every American. What about some job training? What about people who are on drugs? Look, I have been in inner city communities and talked to, I remember one time, let me tell you this. Me and my cousin, when I first retired, we used to do a lot of stuff that had to do with medical insurance and medical insurance for the poor and stuff like that. So we were in this, I mean, the hoodest of hoods in Baltimore, because that's, we would go talk to people there. And I remember, and there were some people there, and there was a woman there, and let's just say she was involved in a very ancient occupation, right? And she was obviously like a heroin addict or whatever. And we're standing there talking to her. We talked to people. And she said, you know, I don't want to do what I do, but I'm hooked on this and that and blah, blah, blah. And here's what was obvious. Do you really think that she wanted to be a drug addict, a heroin addict? Do you think she wanted to be a prostitute on the street? When you talk to her, she didn't want to do that. She didn't want to be there. She was there in pain, in desperation. What? Now, you want to talk reparations, help her. See, if you're going to ask Garland Nixon, how can we do reparations? I'm not going to say, what can we do to save Jay-Z and Oprah $10 million in taxes? I'm going to say, help her. That's the person that's hurting, feeling the pain. Help the people who are at the bottom. But that's just not the way this system works. It doesn't work for white folks. It doesn't work for black folks, red, yellow, green, or blue folks. I don't care what color you are. We've got a system of neoliberal capitalism. And what it does is it transfers money from the bottom to the top. If you're a student now, guess what? You can go to college. You know, let me throw this out there. And let me give out the number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Got open lines. Let me say this. I had a friend, wonderful guy, telling me about a young man in his family. And what he said was this. The young man came to me. And now this guy does air conditioning, refrigeration, right? Does well. And he said, yeah, this young man in my family came to me and said, I want to learn to do what you did. And he said, what my dad said to me. My dad was a longshoreman. I said, hey, I want to be a longshoreman. They make money and they do this. And my dad said, no, sir, brother. He said, I do this because I got to. I go out and just go. I got a third grade education. I didn't have no option but to go out here and bust my behind in the cold and hot. I want you to go to school, right? So he said the same thing. A lot of black men who have had to work backbreaking jobs have ran into that, where their son would walk up to him and say, hey, yes, dad, I want to do like you do, whatever. And the father would say, hey, I had no opportunity. When I was coming up, we had segregated schools. We didn't have this. We couldn't, nothing. I want you to get education and I want you to do what I couldn't do, right? Okay. That's the dream, isn't it? For everybody, they want their child to do a little more than just be where they couldn't go. Okay. Now listen to this. This is where we are in America. So of course he said, what he's, you just say to the young man, he says, look, you know, I want you to be more. Yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, middle class house, you know, my car, family, you know, two car garage. They're doing all right. They're living a comfortable life. But he says, I want you to do further than me. I want you to use your mind. I want you to go to go to school, get an education, and do great things. Right? Whatever you want to do. You know what the young fella said to him? You know, I done the math. It's going to cost me $300,000 in student loans. I'll be paying those for the next 50 years. I'm not taking on that kind of burden. I ain't going to college. I want to do air conditioning. And you know what he said? I couldn't argue with him. He says, I said, okay, well, let's get started. Soon as you graduate from school, I'll start showing you the trade, right? Why? Basically, you know what he did? He gave that young man $400,000. Because that's what it would cost, $300,000-$400,000. The young man looked at him and said, hey, look, I'd love to go to school. You got $300,000-$400,000 laying around? No, can't do it. So we have now, through student loans, right? What other country does that? Have created a country wherein this young person gets out of school at 23. They got a house payment, but they don't have a house. A house payment and no house. You see, student loans are the greatest thing that ever happened to the bank. The bank had to wait till you turned 35. They had to wait till you got married. You had a small kid. And the wife, what? We got to buy a house. I'm tired of renting. All right, let's just start saving money. And it, boom. Oh, look, there's a house. Let's buy it. That's a starter house. Remember those terms? Starter house. You don't hear that anymore. Starter tent because you're living on the street. Starter house. Right. And they buy their first house and they thought about, oh, we've had another child. I think we're going to need another bedroom. Jody. All right. Let's look for a bigger house. Right. That was before. Now, guess what? You already got a house. It's called a student loan. And then you're like, hey, maybe I can get the government to do away with my student loans. They ain't going to do it. Look, you know what they'll do? A chunk here and there. Little teeny bit. Nothing to do with the trillion or trillion and a half dollars of student loans. They ain't going to do it. Why, might I ask you? I don't care how much you beg, they're not going to do it, and they can't do it. Let me explain why. The term is slabs. There's something, a magical thing, we don't even understand how it works on Wall Street, called asset-backed securities. They sell them like it's something real. It isn't. So they got a huge chunk of student loans, $400 million worth of student loans. They slice them up in chunks and they sell it. They sell the chunks of the student loans that they have. Chunks. And they say, yes, these are securities that are backed up by those student loans. Student loan asset-backed securities. And they say, and you know, the student loans are going to make money. So therefore, since they're going to make money and you'll make money, you buy these and you'll get X amount of percentage or whatever. It's all a con. It's all a fraud. But you buy slabs, they sell slabs. So if they've taken these student loans that you've been suckered into, chunked them up and sold them again. See, they don't go, you the loan. Then they chunked them up and sold them a second time as asset-backed securities. They can't very well give away those student loans, can they? They can't just say we're doing away with the student loans, because there's a secondary profit, invisible, magical though it may be, there's a secondary profit being made off the student loans. Not only are you being scammed, some other poor sucker who's buying the asset-backed securities are being scammed, but they don't even know it because they've got their money invested in some kind of a whatever that buys percentages of this and that, and they don't even know where their money's invested. But little do they know, they own some of the asset-backed securities, student loan asset-backed securities. So now there's an environment where you can't get out from under them. I'll get all that back to say. So this young man said, I ain't doing it. I ain't going to college. I ain't rolling up with $400,000. How long would it take him to make $400,000 that it would be worth his while to go to college? So we're in a situation where what did they do? They made college unaffordable, and then they said, good luck. We'll give you loans to do it. Let me ask you this. If somebody would give you a loan to buy a Rolls Royce and you said, I can't buy a Rolls Royce, tell you what we'll do. We'll make it affordable to you. Take the Rolls Royce home. We'll give you a long-term loan. You can pay us $700 a month. Oh, I'm driving a Rolls Royce for the next 40 years. Oh, by the way, if you don't pay for a while, you still got interest, blah, blah, blah. And so you pay for 20 years and you say, is the Rolls Royce half paid off? And they say, no, it's actually you owe more than you did at the beginning. There you have student loans. It's a scam. And let me say one thing else about student loans. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, President Biden said, I'm paying off all the student loans. I'm forgiving them all. Nobody owns any. Okay, all right, fine, fair enough. What would happen then? The cycle would start all over again, wouldn't it? Starting tomorrow, all these people would sign up to go to college for new student loans. And 10 years from now, we would be right back where we are. Because the problem is not student loans, my friend. Student loans is what represents the problem. It's like if you have a brain tumor and your head hurts. The problem is not a headache. The headache is an expression of the problem. The problem is not student loans. In fact, the whole thing is an expression of a system that preys on working class people. What did they do? They sent all your jobs overseas. They closed your factories down. They went to China. They went to Vietnam. They went to Indonesia with your factories and closed them down because they could make a greater profit there. And they don't have to pay the people as much. And now they're making a great profit. And you know what they say now? How dare China? Look what China's doing to us. Why, they are taking all that profit. They closed your job and sent all your jobs to China. And now the ruling elite that closed your factories, sent your jobs to China, tell you, get mad at China, not me. I'm supposed to get mad. What was China supposed to do? It was one of the poorest countries in the world. And when they called, hey, look, do your people work cheap? And China said, we ain't got nothing. Of course they do. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close our factories and we're going to send all of our people, all of our business there so we can make more money. And China said, well, we're broke. Sure. Great. Let's do it. So they did it. Now China's making lots of money. And now they want to go to war with China. China's robbed us. They've stolen us. They've done dirty. No, they didn't. The U.S. ruling elite did what they did. They robbed you, and they're still robbing you. They sent your stuff to China, and now that China has outsmarted them, and China's doing good, now it's, you know what it is? It's weapons of mass destruction. Well, that's Saddam Hussein. He's a bad guy. He's got weapons of mass destruction. Where'd he get them? We gave them to him. It's bin Laden. Oh, that bin Laden is going to terrorize you. He's terrible. Really? So how did bin Laden come to power? Well, during the Afghan war in the 1980s, we trained and armed bin Laden and all of the Al-Qaeda people, and we called them the Mujahideen. So we created that. Every time it's the same thing. The ruling elite creates something that harms you. And then they blame, then they scare you, the bejesus out of you. They create bin Laden and the Mujahideen. You can go right now and search and you will find articles from the 1980s about how wonderful bin Laden are. You will find out that the CIA helped put Saddam Hussein in power. And then they come lying to you, telling you, Saddam Hussein, you got to be scared of him. You got to be scared of bin Laden. Right? Now, what is it? The ruling elite, to make a fortune, sent your job to China. Now they're going to blame everything on China. It's Russia. It's China. It's always somebody else. But you notice something? It's never the ruling elite. It's never the people here who are doing their dirt. 202-588-0893. You have any calls yet? What? Oh, we got some. All right, let's go. Let me say this for the callers. A couple things. Numero uno. No speakerphones. They sound terrible. If you got a speakerphone, take your regular phone up, put it to your ear. Number one. Number two, do not set the phone down and listen to the computer or the radio to hear me because we have a 10-second delay. And when you hear me say, caller, are you there? I said it 10 seconds ago on the phone and you're not going to hear me. Don't set it down and keep your mouth close to the receiver. It's important that we hear what you got to say. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Rick. Can you hear me okay, man?
Brother Rick in Germany. How you doing, my friend?
Dying slowly, my man. Dying slowly.
I hear the economy in Germany is not going real well right now.
Well, let me say this. For the amount of immigrants that Germany has taken in, I can still walk the streets peacefully. Most of those people want to live in peace. They don't want to be a part of wherever they were running from.
Let me ask you this, Rick. Maybe you can tell me. What do you think of the major countries that the immigrants are there from?
Say that again?
What are the big, what countries, like the immigrants, what countries are a lot of the immigrants there from?
Man, they're from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Not just Ukraine, not just...
Afghanistan, Syria, some of those places in the Middle East?
Of course. But if you're from Afghanistan and Syria, you're going to keep a low profile here in Germany.
Okay.
They don't get involved in protesting and politics.
Right.
If they can, they go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's. I wanted to talk to you about reparations for
sure.
Black Americans.
Sure.
You know, the ruling elite who manage presidents, I think they have cut Secret Service protection for an outgoing president to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That says something. That says that the wealthy know their time at playing games with people on this planet is short.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking they're probably not going to allow us to gather reparations in the very near future. They could do it if they wanted to. And I talked to Miss Julianne Malvo, and she said it just takes political will. But I don't think the ruling elite really want to give Black Americans reparations and to see them sitting on Easy Street the way many white folks were when they were giving away land in the 1800s.
You know, I'll say this, Rick. You know, something like 60% of Americans now don't have $500 in savings, right? They won't do nothing for poor white folks. So you know they ain't going to do nothing for poor. They won't even. You know what? Let me say this. Here's a number recently. I saw where President Biden said they were going to dedicate $60 million to rebuild the Key Bridge, which is 12 minutes in phone from my house. $60 million, that's what he said. We're going to dedicate $60 million to be the bridge, right? But at the same time, he's asking for $60 billion for Ukraine, 1,000 times more, exactly 1,000 times more to go to Ukraine than for Americans. They got nothing for us. They could care less. They won't do nothing for poor white folks. You know they ain't going to do nothing for poor black folks. That's why poor white folks need to wake up. Poor black folks need to wake up and realize poor folks got to come together. Almost everybody is poor. If you ain't poor, when you go to the grocery store, you'll be poor by the time you leave, Rick.
Let me say in closing, I am no big fan of Joe Biden. But I would take Biden as president for 4 more years, even if he died in office. I would rather have him there than Donald John Trump.
Well, you know, everybody's got their own politics, but my feeling is I don't think Biden has a prayer in November. But you know what? Forever, it's a long time between then and now. I don't think Biden has a prayer in November. I really don't. At this point, if the elections were today, but it's a long time. Look, Biden and Trump are neither of them a young man. Who knows if either one of them will still be here. They could both have a stroke. They could both stroke out on us before now. But whatever the case may be, I'll say this. And the other thing I have to say is this. We got a systemic problem. I think you could plug anybody in at this. This system doesn't care who's there. We have a system that extracts money from the working class and gives it to the ruling elite. So I don't think changing a person, changing the driver in the seat, whoever's in the seat of this runaway train is going to fix it. You get the last word, and then we're moving on, Rick. Okay, that's fine. Love Rick. Rick's a great guy. He calls weekly, he listens regularly, and he's Brother Rick is in Germany. All right, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air, sir.
All right, Brother Garland, it's Leo calling long distance from Lisbon, Portugal.
Leo, always a pleasure. What are your thoughts?
I really agree with what you're saying. I feel like we're on the same boat. And here's the thing. I feel like the U.S., I mean, the empire, let me put it mm-hmm. that way. I need to refer to the U.S. as the empire. It has failed for centuries to prioritize the Americans. And I feel like here's the thing. As much as I acknowledge what the last caller from Germany, I believe, mm-hmm. said that he doesn't want another Trump presidency. I mean, I feel like I don't think it will make a difference, because here's the thing. Even if Biden gets reelected, I feel like we're not going to see anything different. Because here's the thing, let's be realistic and logical here, because we're talking about a president who has blood on his hands.
Genocide.
Palestinian blood, Congolese blood on his hands. He is responsible for the genocide that is taking place right now, that has been taking place against the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Ever since the October 7 attack. And let me tell you this, no matter whoever takes power, both sides are warmongers. I am going to be really brutally honest here. They're both a bunch of warmongers, regardless of who takes office. And regarding what you mentioned foreign workers, like workers, those who produce these T-shirts and mm-hmm. whatnot. I think they deserve reparations, mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Not just the descendants of enslaved Africans mm-hmm. in the United States, but every person of color across the world deserves reparations.
Did you know this?
So that is my take on that.
Did you know this? Right now, as the United States continues to harass Nicaragua, the United States owes reparations to Nicaragua by law. In 1986, Nicaragua took the United States to the International Court of Justice for mining its harbors, for doing all kinds of illegal things against it. The International Court of Justice found, on behalf of Nicaragua, the United States owes reparations to Nicaragua for mining its harbors and for funding murderous right-wing death squads and all kinds of terrible things. The United States ain't never paid a penny to Nicaragua. And right now the U.S. is like, you know, I think we're going to do some more sanctions against Nicaragua. Man, this machine here in Washington, D.C. are just beasts. They are just sociopathic, genocidal monsters. And to me, there's only two kinds of people. There's people that understand American foreign policy, and there's people that support American policy. Because you can't do both. If you understand American foreign policy, you ain't gonna support it. If you support American foreign policy, you don't understand what it is. Unless, of course, you're just a genocidal sociopath. Then, of course, you might love American foreign policy.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is what many of us, and I will be honest, this is what I felt like all this time. I had no idea that I was fooled when I, you know, once voted for Obama, and you know, I thought he would make miracles. I felt like now I realize that it was a mistake even voting for Obama, because he is no different.
Nah.
He's just continuing the legacy of his predecessors. Nothing else. I mean, he hasn't done anything, you know, unique. And might I add, I think, not just, since you mentioned Nicaragua, I think Haiti also deserves reparations.
Are you kidding me?
Haiti,
yeah,
has been ripped apart from the moment it became a country.
Yep, you are absolutely correct. All right, thanks a lot. Next caller, you're on the air. We got some open lines. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Vicki Bryant from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yes. Vicki, did you say Vicki?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what's happening, Vicki?
Sure, well, I'm just passing through. No, first of all, the capitalist system began with the U.S. slave trade.
You don't have your radio on in the back. It almost sounds like I hear my voice in your background.
Oh, you do. Let me.
Yeah, that gives us really bad feedback.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
The capitalist system began with the U.S. slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
So it began. There's no good that can ever come out of this. You know, I mean, I've lived in Europe where there is socialism.
I wish there was socialism in Europe.
you have your health care.
Yeah, that's coming, and that's coming to a screeching halt because the Europe is getting very, very poor.
Yeah, they want to become more poor things American, but it's founded on an evil system built on exploitation.
Yep.
The worst of human nature. Okay.
Yes.
The next thing is the immigration issue. The U.S. owns that.
Mm-hmm.
Of the countries in this hemisphere, I can't count the number of invasions this country has done. That
all of them.
The governments down there, that the people had wanted.
Vicki, wouldn't it be a lot easier to count the governments in the United States and in the hemisphere that the U.S. hasn't invaded?
Absolutely.
Or overthrown a government? I hate to say this. I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't think of one in Latin America. I can't think of a country that the United States hasn't at some time overthrown the government. If you can, help me out. I can't think of one in Latin America. Maybe I miss something.
That's why the people that are coming here, because their countries are not livable.
Yep.
Okay. The other thing is in Brazil. I've been to Brazil. I've spent time there. I didn't know when I went down there in the 70s and spent time that after the Civil War, many U.S. slave owners went there with their slaves, because slavery was not abolished down there until 1888.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, gorgeous country, but it's very, very racist.
Yep.
I mean, they're good people there, too, but they have a horrible history as well. But I think we have the worst history of any country in the world.
Oh, we overthrew Brazil, I think it was in 64. The U.S. overthrew the government of Brazil in 64. You name a country! We didn't find one that we didn't overthrow the government in. You know what kills me? I had a caller, and like people will call in, and they'll say, Ukraine, and I'll say, well, you know, the United States overthrew the government of Ukraine in 24. No, they didn't. And I say this, if the United States didn't overthrow the government of Ukraine, it would be about the only country that we didn't throw to over. But in the fact of the matter is that we did.
Yes. And then the people are not taught. Because the power structure wants it this way. You're not taught history. Now, I went to school, elementary school, when the schools were segregated.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to sing the Black National Anthem every day, every time we had assembly. We had a very Afrocentric principal.
Mm-hmm.
I had fabulous teachers. Okay, I went to the seventh grade. But then I came home and my parents were educated, so I knew who I was. But now they don't know world history. They don't even know the U.S. history, and they don't want them. The power structure doesn't want them to know. They want them to stay ignorant.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. See, we had better education, let's say the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and you know, and for some of the other reason, because you had factories and you had companies, right? Mm-hmm. And the people who owned those factories needed educated employees. They needed employees that knew enough to run the machines and do things. And like, so in the same way, we had infrastructures then. Why? Because the people who owned the companies and the corporations, they needed good roads so they could move their stuff. They needed good train tracks so they could move the stuff that they were building in the factories. So they built infrastructure and they built schools and all that stuff. Why? Because the people who owned the corporations needed educated employees and they needed now. When they moved all of those factories to China and Vietnam and Indonesia, the rich people didn't need infrastructure anymore, did they? Mm-hmm. So they stopped building it. Because they don't do it for us. They ain't building it for us. They only built it for the rich people in the first place. Now that the rich folks don't need it, ain't happening.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Yeah, yeah. Somebody wrote a book about that. It said, you know, your government's really not into you. They're not. Michael Jackson had it right. He said, all I want to say is they don't really care about us. You're cannon fodder. That's all you are. All right. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We've got more callers. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from. I am a writer, but I'm calling from PG County.
Yes.
Okay. I would like to make just 2 points. One, is there any way that we Africans globally can put our heads together, not allow Europeans to be riding on our backs? This is what I mean. The first African-American president, Obama. Mm-hmm. Was using Caucasians beautifully used him to go and kill Gaddafi mm-hmm. in Africa. Yeah, and you see the AFRICOM itself that was set up in Stuttgart, Germany, in 2005 was NATO's terrorist branch terrorizing Africa. As I'm mm-hmm. talking with you right now. Okay, now. He, being the first African-American president, could not stop. Being on the most powerful nation on earth as the president, he couldn't even stop these Caucasians because he didn't want to displace them. He didn't stop them from killing Gaddafi 2011 because Gaddafi has set up a program for us to be in the United States of Africa around 2017. I have a list of things here.
Oh, Gaddafi was great. If you look at how the condition, Libya was the richest country in Africa. The people in Libya were living well under Gaddafi. Now look at them now, slave trade.
Yes, yes. Okay, that's point number one. The next question is, when can we Africans wake up? You go that terrorist NATO branch, AFRICOM, that is African Command,
mm-hmm.
has enabled United States to set up 29 different military bases on the African continent. And we Africans have nothing against the United States because we came here and built the country. So we are brought in here to build the country. We had nothing against the United States, but the United States has 29 different military bases.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the problem.
At war, and they want to increase it to 34. And then Langley, General Langley, is an African-American.
Right, they put a black man in charge of AFRICOM, right.
On the continent, AFRICOM. And then you find Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense. I think it's not Secretary of Defense.
I think it's Tom Austin, I tend to call him, but go ahead.
Yes, Secretary of War. I listened to him at the Congress. They were interviewing him. He was actually, as if he had some stammering thing in his mouth about the savage murdering of the people in Gaza.
You're right. Look, let me tell you this. They asked Lloyd Austin about the genocide in Gaza, and he says, "We, and I guess we meaning him and his masters, we see no evidence of a genocide in Gaza." That's Lloyd Austin. See, that's why they put this guy, General Langley, in charge of AFRICOM to beat the black folks down. That's why they put Lloyd Austin out there. So when they're gonna, it's not a white guy. They ask a black man, hey, what about that genocide? My master told me that I don't see a genocide. And when master says I don't see a genocide, I don't see a genocide. Oh, excuse me, I gotta go collect this check. That's what Tom Austin's doing. He's doing what his masters told him. They know, you know, in slavery times, they would always find a black man that wanted to get ahead, and they would give him the whip, and they'd say, go whip the other slaves, they're not working hard enough. And he would go whip them harder than the white master would, because he had something to prove. That's what Lloyd Austin is.
Before I go to my last point, I would like to say that if you listen to these noble women from South Africa,
Yes, their foreign minister, she's an absolute one.
I'm wondering why we cannot team up together to actually work towards the interests of humanity, but we're still following these Caucasians who are nothing but deceptive, under the deception of diplomacy and politically correct. And there is nothing correct about politically correct, and there's nothing diplomatic other than deceptions and deceptions and deceptions. Now, my last point.
Yes, because I got another caller. Just make it, if you can wind it up.
Okay, but very quickly. Cuba, for example, is being accused of being a communist, and they are able to supply free education, free health, free housing.
Mm-hmm.
And we, with just one billionaire here, has more than the assets in Cuba. And we are ashamed that Cuba has none of these assets, is making this provision. And here we can, I went down to Washington, D.C. Yeah. And I see people.
Well, look, I got to run. Certainly appreciate it. I got to run. I certainly appreciate the call. But we got a couple more callers. I don't have much time, and I want to hit the next couple callers. Yeah, thank you very much. We'll see here. Let me say this. I listened to the brother from Africa, and he can see it. He can see it so clearly. He's a brother from Africa. Sadly, unfortunately, a lot of black folks in the United States, you know, the old saying, fish discover water last, right? A lot of black folks in the United States don't understand the position they're in. They don't understand how the black folks in Africa see things. They don't understand how the black folks, they don't understand. So when the United States flies its flag and says, we're going over to the country X to stand up for little people, all the black folks in Africa go, you got to be kidding me. You're coming to steal their stuff. When the United States says Iran is evil, China's evil, Russia's is evil, you know what the folks in Africa say? They say, no, you're evil. The United States is evil. Russia, China, Iran, we get along great with them. We love them. Y'all come here, you murder us. You overthrow our government. You steal our stuff. You drag our people into slavery. And you're going to tell us that China and Russia and Iran is evil. See, the people in Africa can see it. Sadly, the people in the United States, a lot of black folks are repeating the very propaganda of the people who are slamming them into the wall. And I'll say this, the same thing for a lot of poor white folks. My point is this, poor people, working class people need to wake up and understand that they're not struggling because of Putin or China or Iran or Cuba or Venezuela or whoever else, other country is 8,000 miles away, that the people right here are the ones that are giving you the shaft, and they're simply feeding you a boogeyman in another country. The people in Africa can see it, but you're here, you can't see it. That's why I'm saying it. You're being had. What did Malcolm X say? You're being took, hoodwinked, bamboozled. You're being lied to. And black Americans and white Americans, poor and working class people, I believe, are starting to wake up to realize that their enemy is not in China, it's not in Russia, it's not in Iran, it's not in Venezuela. That their enemy is right here. That these are the people that are creating the dynamics that are impoverishing them. Why in the name of Dickens do we only have $60 million for infrastructure here? Biden, $60 million for the bridge. That bridge will be so long, it'll be 10 years before they get that bridge back up. It'll be 10 hours before they get $60 billion for Ukraine that's going to go to Lockheed Martin. They're doing a genocide. I bet you they come up with $10, $12, $14 billion for Israel to commit a genocide. But yet, students go to school and the teachers in this country have to buy pens and pencils and papers for the school. but they ain't got to buy it in Ukraine. They don't have to buy it in Israel. They get $2,000 bombs. Americans need to wake up and realize they're being schnookered. Next caller. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I am.
You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Louise, Baltimore.
Louise.
Oh, hi. I would like to say that not only are we not going to get reparations, but they're actually continuing to commodify our bodies through the prison industrial complex. And unfortunately, us as African Americans, legislatures are hopping on board with the white supremacist agenda.
Worse than that.
It's like in Maryland, Maryland with the new Juvenile Justice Reform Act, where they are actually reducing the age of when children can get arrested from 13 to 10 to 12 years old. And who's spearheading it? Ivan Bates, African American state's attorney. Aisha in Baltimore City. Aisha Brave Boy in PG County. And it's not, and they keep saying stuff like, oh, it's for public safety. But it's not for public safety. You know, you look at the state's attorney in Baltimore County. He's not doing anything for public safety for the people. All they want to do is put our children in jail, and then now the governor is poised to sign this legislation. And the thing about it is, his children are the very same age, but the black bourgeoisie, you know, elite, they don't think their children are going to be affected by it, which is the reason why they voted for this thing.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah. And you know what? You ever notice this? For as much as the schools are struggling, they always got money to build a new juvenile detention center.
Exactly.
They always got money for that. What do they say? We're going to fix crime. Really, what are you going to do? We're going to put more police on the street, and we're going to arrest more people and this and that. Really? Look. If I want to change myself, I got to get to the root of the problem and fix it, right? If you want less crime, a lot of what we're dealing with now are crimes of desperation, crimes of pain. You know, I know somebody that works in a grocery store who's been there for years that basically said, look, people are stealing different stuff now. I'm like, what? They're stealing diapers. They're stealing baby poop formula. People are stealing things now out of desperation and survival. So we are creating a dynamic where we have a lost generation, where we have people in desperation trying to make it. And what's the key? Put them in jail. Why? Because the 13th Amendment does not outlaw slavery if you are duly convicted of a crime.
Right. That's
if you are convicted of a crime, by the constitutional law, you can still be a slave. We didn't outlaw slavery. And guess what? There we go. Go ahead.
That's right. And that's why you have a corrupt justice system with the corrupt justices in Baltimore in particular. But the justice system, I haven't said this before, after Freddie Gray was murdered, the Justice Department came in and they told us what the problems were. The poverty, racial segregation, deficient education, unemployment, lack of housing. But instead of our legislature working on those problems, they want to put children in jail not only for having guns, but carjackings and all kinds of craziness like that. When they're not even asking, where are they getting the guns?
Let me tell you a quick story about that. So when that whole Freddie Gray thing, I was working for the American Civil Liberties Union. I was working in that part of town on that project. Right. One of the things I did is I put together a potential program and I went to this funding thing. And the program was to help black folks in Baltimore understand how to file a complaint against the policeman. If the process, right? And I was going to go to neighborhood associations and let them know, look, if a cop does something you don't like, this is how you file a complaint. This is how you follow up. I put that whole thing together and I had to go about before this board. and show to them, this is what I'm going to do to help people and to teach black folks how to file a complaint against a law enforcement officer when it does. One of the guys on the board, a black man, said to me, so what do you think the people of Baltimore can do to show the Baltimore City Police that, you know, they've made changes? And I'm like, the people of Baltimore City are the victims of the police. We had a report that said the police routinely violated the constitutional rights of the people of Baltimore, and you're going to ask me what the people of Baltimore got to do to show the police that they've changed? So, needless to say, I didn't get the money because the ruling elite did not want the people of Baltimore City to know how to file a complaint against the against the police. You get the last word.
Well, all I have to say is that in addition to that, the Baltimore City Police Department is under a consent decree, which means, and then you're going to sign legislation in that puts these children at, in their hands. And then they tried to have an amendment to say, oh, well, the police can't lie to the children. And they even voted that down.
Of course not.
So
hey, look, you think these politicians, they're going to lie to you. The last thing they want is to know the police can't lie. They're like, I'm lying to you now. I'm telling you I'm standing up for you, and you voted me in, and I'm looking out for you. Oh, no. Well, look, we got to get go. Thank you very much. I so appreciate the call. Okay, listen, if you want to get in touch with me, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland Nixon on Telegram, Garland.Nixon on Instagram. You can email me, my first name, Garland, and the first letter of my last name, garlandn@gmail.com. You know, I love house music. So I'm going to old school right now. Donnie, Cloud 9. Peace. I'm out. Bye.